Good morning. You've tuned into the morning show here on 88.5 KRFY, Panhandle Community Radio. I'm Jack, and that's Jim. And good morning, Jim. How you doing?
Good morning, Jack. It was a pleasure to see you walk in this morning in your yellow rain slicker.
It's, yes, it that one dates back to, that jacket is older than I am, I'm pretty sure.
It was a flashback for me to my grade school days.
Yeah, it was one of those mornings that I woke up, slept with the window open, woke up, and it was it was a little wet. I just wanted to stay in bed and just listen to the rain come down.
Well, what was interesting is I drove, coming down Cedar Street, you couldn't see the mountains in Montana. You know, the rain was just coming down, or it was cloudy or whatever, but
yeah,
this is magical time, especially if you are a person who got a garden in during these hot days. But let's hope this weather gets out of its system before you know what arrives tomorrow. We're gonna be lost.
We are, yeah, that's coming up, the big weekend. I'm sure we'll talk about that when we
most definitely
towards the end. Let me tell you about what the forecast is, which is certainly not guaranteed, but it's what we got today. Heavy rain, an 80% chance of precipitation today, high of 60 degrees, calm wind and possible thunderstorms. New rainfall amounts between a quarter and half an inch possible. Heavy rain tonight with a low of 49 degrees. Tomorrow, showers are likely with a 60% chance of precipitation, and the 40% chance of precipitation tomorrow night. Then on Saturday, slight chance of showers and then partly sunny with a high of 66, and then mostly sunny on Sunday. So it's this could pass.
It could be a hit or miss weekend. Before we've got guests with us, but before we do that, I want to say welcome back to Velma, Queen of Fun. She returned last night to do her program. She spent her winter in Ellijay, Georgia.
And she's back. She's back on the airwaves.
Back, and she was just so happy to discover that while she was gone, I had put in some Mavis Staples and some Joan Osborne and some Pop Staples and Shamika Copeland, people whom she enjoys. So she had a plethora of music to choose from.
She's at, she plays at 7 o'clock or 6:30? Do you remember?
I was at a meeting then. I think she was on it at 7, but it could have been 6:30.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Anyway, she plays a great and eclectic music show on Wednesday nights. Right before we get to the guests, I do want to mention the flood warning that continues, which is affecting Lake Pend'Oreille at Hope and up in Boundary County, the Moyie River at Eastport, and the Pend'Oreille River below Albany Falls Dam. Here in Bonner and Pend'Oreille County next door, the flood warning continues for the Lake Pend'Oreille from Friday morning until further notice. At 6 o'clock a.m. this morning, the flood stage was at 2,063.1 feet. Flood stage is 2,063.5 feet. So minor flooding is forecast to rise above flood stage by tomorrow late morning and continue to rise to near 2,065.2 feet by Thursday morning. So it's going to come up another 2.1 feet from where we are right now, or where we were a couple hours ago. That's what's up. Anyway, let's get this on.
Let's get on with our guests. We have a plethora of people from Bonner General Health, and we're going to introduce Robin Hansen. She is the marketing specialist over at Bonner General Health. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning, Jim and Jack. How are you this morning?
I think I'm trying to accept this day. How about you, Jack?
Yeah, the weather has abruptly shifted, but I'm okay with it.
Yeah, we can deal. Before we get too far, by the way, Robin, did you know that when you go on holiday, on vacation, you can take us with you by streaming? So, for example, my sister and brother-in-law in Arlington, Virginia, right now are tuned in. They said, Alexa, KRFY Radio, and bam-o,
I love it.
Isn't that just way too neat?
That's great.
And we have two guests along with Robin. One will be with us now, and then we'll take a music break about a half hour later and bring on the other person. But Dr. Joe Wassef, psychologist at Bonner General Behavioral Health. Good morning, Joe.
Morning. Thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely wonderful. Robin, yeah. Do you want to give an overview of why we have Joe with us?
Well, first of all, May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and it started off with actually Child Mental Health Awareness Week, the first week in May. And so it's just a timely topic, and we just wanted to come out and share some bits of information that we think would be helpful and pertain to a lot of families in our area. We're really excited to bring Joe into Bonner General Behavioral Health because his presence extends the mental health services that are available in our area, which we all know we're in great need of. And so we're just really excited to have him here with, and he brings a lot of experience working with families. And so we really are excited about what Joe's bringing.
I was going to ask Joe what his area of specialization is in the field of psychology.
Well, I was trained in the VA medical facilities in trauma in particular. I worked on a PTSD unit for a while and received a number of different certifications, one called cognitive processing therapy to support veterans as they came back stateside to, in particular, address some of the social isolation and trauma-related symptoms that are associated with wartime.
And how long have you been with Bonner General Behavioral Health?
Well, just 2 months, actually. I think my
a newbie.
Yes, yeah.
And what have you learned thus far about the program, the needs in North Idaho? Yeah. What are you focusing on?
Well, I would think that beyond the folks that walk through the door for counseling, I think one of the biggest needs that we've been talking about lately at the hospital has been one, prevention. Not just reaction, but prevention of mental health concerns. And then secondarily, testing and assessment. So we've been getting a number of calls every single week to figure out, gosh, is my child, is he or she experiencing ADHD, or is it something else that's going on? And we've got a number of physicians that are calling us to help us figure out, is this young person experiencing pediatric bipolar, or again, is it something else? So being able to accurately figure out what is going on early so that we can get the help and support for the young people in the community at a much earlier stage.
Hmm. You mentioned prevention right off the bat, which is something I guess you think about when it comes to physical ailments,
you know,
wash your hands in cold season and all that, but how does that pertain to mental health? What does prevention look like for, you know, what's your prescription for preventing bad mental health, I guess?
Yeah, thanks, Jack. I mean, that's a great question. Oftentimes when, especially right now, I mean, we're on the cusp of graduation, right? So go Dogs, 2018. you know, what I think about is oftentimes there are these moments of celebration, like graduation, marriage, things that you think of just all the joy and excitement, but don't think about what comes after. So right now I'm working with a number of adolescents that are getting ready to graduate and their families, and it's all about prom and graduation and what's going to happen this summer and saying goodbye and things of that nature, and we forget about the angst that comes immediately after that. So, you know, the end of July, all of a sudden it's like, oh my gosh, I'm getting ready to travel cross country and maybe be away from my family for the first time. And there are a number of things that both adolescents and their families could do right now or in preparation for getting ready to go away to college, for those that are going away to college, to help mitigate some of that angst that always comes. So some things that I do with family is just type in the name of the university that your child is going to, and then like in a Google search, and then add graduation rate. And sometimes you get some pretty scary results. Immediately it would pop up. Many of the universities that we will research are anywhere between 45 and 65% graduation rate. So of those folks that don't graduate, most of the time, or at least the largest majority, don't complete their first year. So the conversation becomes, how do we help these young people get through the first year of their college experience, even if it isn't like a 4.0, but just how do we get them into year two when they've got some experience under their belt? So think about all the things that have come very naturally when you live with your parents or when your child is right there. When they have a cold, you know who the pediatrician is, and so you drive them right down the street, or you know where all the resources are in this community, but not in a new community when you have no idea who to call, and especially if there's no family members there. So that's what I think of when I think of students getting ready to go away to college. In prevention, it means arming them with tools so that they can be successful on their own.
And then testing and assessment was the other point you mentioned. I don't know if you wanted to elaborate on that a little more or not, but I suppose that is that something that you view as valuable, or you just get a lot of questions about it?
Both. Yeah. I'd say. Yeah, I think it's extremely valuable. Mm-hmm. You know, as someone that's been a counselor for a number of years, you know, it's not uncommon to have people come to counseling and really there's a lot going on, right? Humans, we're all messy, right? We've got a lot of things going on in our lives, both, you know, professionally and in home and socially and everything else. So understanding what's, you know, biological, what is environmental, what is long lasting versus what is a, you know, state versus trait kind of system. And so being able to provide a service that helps weed out and provide a more accurate diagnosis, I think is incredibly helpful, not only for the individual, the client that comes through the door, but also the other professionals so that we know how to better treat.
Mm-hmm. Do you work with all ages or just with primarily with children?
Almost all ages. You know, right now, not the little ones. So I typically see folks down to age 12.
Okay. Starting at 12, though, that's So that is right. You said almost all ages. Yeah. It's just about covers it, except for the little ones. We're talking to Dr. Joe Wassef, who's a psychologist at the Bonner General Behavioral Health Center.
Clinic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's a mouthful.
If there is someone out there who might be interested in finding out more about the program and what services are offered, how does one go about finding out that information?
Well, thanks, Jim. We have a website, bonnergeneral.org. Okay. And if you look at the menus or the topics across the top of our menu bar, you just click on services. And there you can see all of the services that are offered at Bonner General Health. Click on behavioral health and can get some information about the services offered, information about Dr. Wassef and our psychiatrist, Dr. Johnson. You can also call the office directly at 208-265-1090.
Okay, perfect. And how many people, you mentioned Joe and a psychiatrist, how many people in the clinic?
Two. That's where we're at right now. We have Dr. Johnson and Dr. Wassef.
We're a small but mighty force.
Now, are you overwhelmed with the number of, in terms of, are you kept busy?
Yes.
Joe was nodding his head, not realizing this is radio.
You couldn't see that I was nodding my head, yes. Yes, we have a number of referrals that come in every single week, and it's pretty diverse, and I think that's what makes the job really exciting, too.
You mentioned focusing in on the person graduating, all of the to-dos with prom and graduation ceremonies heading off to college. Mm-hmm. What about a person who isn't just in school? What are some of the issues that they're facing? Maybe not the immediate changes in their life that will occur if you're a senior. But what are some of the other issues that you're discovering in your work that students are facing?
I think that's a great question, Jim. I work with a lot of parents and do different kinds of parent training to really help them figure out how to navigate. I almost want to, we joke around that adolescence almost in of itself should be a diagnosis. I think we all kind of go through that stage of just trying to navigate, how do I, experience my emotions in a healthy way, and then navigate the world. And so some basic tips that I help parents think about as their child is, pushing the boundaries a little bit, experiencing their own autonomy. Usually what I try to start with is teaching the parents, number one, be curious as opposed to immediately judgmental. Just try to go into any kind of situation with the child, trying to understand what is the intent behind their behavior, right? So before you just consequence, if you consequence based on the behavior, my child didn't show up when he or she said she was going to, so they're past curfew or... they're not getting up to go to school on time in the morning. Don't just assume what that may be. It could be that there is a test that they're not prepared for. It could be that there is someone in particular that they're avoiding. It could be something that you're not even sure of. Well, as a professional in the mental health field, what I've come to realize is that we as people are terrible predictors of the future. We all assume certain things. And oftentimes it's maybe partially true or not true at all. So if we can all be a little kinder, a little bit more curious with each other about why either my partner is behaving in a certain way, my child is behaving in a certain way, my coworker, something of that nature. And so we can be more inviting into allowing that other person to explain what's going on for them. Then we have a better, more healthy response to them.
Adolescence as a diagnosis of its own does seem do you ever see worried parents and then meet the child and just kind of go nothing to worry about here, this is all normal,
the trick is not to over pathologize, right? We don't need to diagnose every single thing as this major problem when really it maybe is this moment in time. And so for instance, sadness does not mean depression. Like there is a very, specific definition and criteria for that. That's one of the reasons why you seek out professionals, right? That do something every single day so that you're able to help other people navigate and you have this bandwidth of what is quote unquote normal versus not, right? I think teachers are a great example that see tons of kids over the course of years and every single day they can be able to tell parents like, hey, this is out of the norm for this age group. Same thing with mental health professionals that see adolescents or couples or families. They're able to navigate what is, again, healthy versus maybe, pushing the bounds of unhealthy.
Mm-hmm. I'm standing here looking over Joe's shoulder at his notes, and one of the things I notice is a line that spring has the highest rate of suicides. Is that across the board or teen suicides?
It's across the board, really. Oh, sorry. Yeah, it's really across the board. I think it would be inappropriate for me to say exactly why that may be. We can make some speculations about what that is, but the research has shown over and over again that I think a lot of people would think it would be winter, right? When things are cold and dark and gloomy and things of that nature. That's not to say that it isn't a risk, but actually, spring is just statistically when there are more completed suicides. And so, again, going back to the idea of prevention, not that we need to be so hypervigilant as parents that we're, not providing the space for our children, but being, paying attention to what are the signs and symptoms of clinical depression and when to be worried about my child. Mm-hmm.
Do you find I was raised, speaking of lost in the 50s, I was at a time when things that you've been talking about, reaching out for help, there was a stigma to it. There was like, oh my goodness, I'm going to need help here. And then a reluctance to pursue it because, oh, my child is seeking psychiatric help or seeing a psychologist. Do you run into that much anymore?
Oh, sure. I think as a society, we are you know, moving in a healthier direction, that the idea that we're becoming more comfortable with the idea that mental health is actually something that is important, right? And that it's okay, and that I'm actually doing this for me, and that I matter. And so therefore, all aspects of me matter, including my own mental health, not just my physical health. And the idea that those are somehow two separate things is also going away, that there is clearly a mind-body connection. But there's the stigma still absolutely exists. And something that I think, you know, NAMI and a number of other organizations out there are doing a great job of helping mitigate and minimize the stigma associated with it.
That is actually the theme for this year's Mental Health Awareness Month, is removing the stigma of seeking out professional help. And I think listening to Dr. Wassef here hopefully, you know, makes people feel more comfortable and at ease in reaching out and seeking professional help.
How does one go about accessing the services of the clinic? What's the procedure?
Well, you know, I think a lot of families maybe start with their primary care provider, talk to their pediatrician if they're, you know, seeing issues with their children, or even individually, you might start by talking to your primary care provider and either have a referral from them or call the clinic yourself, call directly. And again, that number is 208-265-1090.
Perfect. And how about a school psychologist? Do you find that the schools recommend a person?
What do you think, Joe?
I haven't yet been seen any referrals from the school. That's not to say that that doesn't happen for other professionals. There's a number of different fantastic counselors in our community, and so it very likely happens with them. I think a majority of my folks come from other PCPs, primary mm-hmm. care physicians, and. Because I'm associated with the hospital, folks that come into the ER, that's often where a lot of referrals come from. But that's not to say that the school system isn't also a great resource to farm out into the community.
Now, is there a geographic area you serve?
All it's of pretty, Bonner County.
Yeah, it's pretty mm-hmm. broad. There's folks outside this community mm-hmm. as well. I'd say Boundary County mm-hmm. that I see as well. It's pretty far reaching, and, mm-hmm. and my caseload is diverse as far as age and demographic and reasons for being there. So I think we try to just serve who walks through the door, and then if somebody needs more services or services that I can't provide, it's my responsibility to make sure that they get it.
Hmm. Is there, you mentioned already, like right before a stressful major life event, graduation, marriage, that kind of thing. But talking about prevention, is there any time? What should somebody be looking for, maybe within themselves or within other people, to say now would be a good time to go see a psychologist and not try to work this out on your own anymore? You know, of course, I know that's a hugely broad question, but are there any particular things, any other particular things that you should be looking for?
Sure. I think we could probably, and that is a broad question, but to answer it broadly, there's a couple different things that I usually tell people. Number one is when your existing skills and ways of managing whatever the situation is have not worked, and repeatedly not worked, and you find yourself just sort of waiting things out and hoping things get better, that's usually a good sign. Another sign or symptom might be when you assume that the problems that arise based on your decisions have to do with the situation, And when you're blaming the other person and just assuming that it's because of them, you know, so it's sort of a character flaw, but you give yourself a little bit more permission because it's just, you know, the same situation happened to me, but it was because of this test or whatever. It's a bias that we, a lot of people have. Another situation may be, if you're looking in the past and the same problems keep arising over and over again, that, you know, that's a sign to maybe look in the mirror that, hey, I'm the common denominator here. And maybe I should look at this and get another outside objective view.
Well, it's just about 8:30. Is there, should we take a musical break?
Should we take a musical break? Anything in closing, Joe, that you'd like to say about Bonner General Behavioral Clinic or the work that you do?
I think I would say come by and see us. It's not, you know, what the old depiction might be was you're going to come in and lay on a couch and I'm going to be sitting behind you with a clipboard. We're
Sigmund Freud.
We're pretty friendly folks. And even if it's just one time so that you know who we are and if you need us when you really need us, that's fine too. And if you just want to come by and say hi and you want to introduce yourself to us, we're there.
Well, it's important to realize that Bonner General Health is just not physical, but mental health is so very important. And we have a tendency to think of the ER room or major surgery or even minor surgery, but not realizing that mental health is equally as important. Thank you so much. And maybe we won't have to wait till next May to have you come back. But if there's something going on of importance, give us a buzz and we'll have you back on.
Thanks so much for having me.
Okay, we're gonna say goodbye to Joe and have Allison with the Bonner General Health's Telestroke program coming up. But on this date, Jack,
I'm paying attention.
In 1958, and this is pre you, before you, it was Jerry Lee Lewis Day in his hometown of Faraday, Louisiana. And in 1957, getting ready for Lost in the 50s, this song was his first number one song. Here's Jerry Lee Lewis.
The KRFY Morning Show is available as a free download at krfy.org. You can also stream Panhandle Community Radio live from the website and find program schedules and more information about the station. While browsing KRFY.org, support the station by clicking the Donate button on the right side of your screen and help keep Panhandle Community Radio commercial-free and a growing community resource.
Yeah, that is the killer, Jerry Lee Lewis. On this date in 1958, it was celebrating Jerry Lee Lewis Day in his hometown of Faraday, Louisiana. And quite impressive. He had songs like Great Balls of Fire and Breathless.
do they still, is the day, the person day, still a thing? I don't know if you hear that
in Faraday, Louisiana, it was.
Yeah.
I suppose. But the man was very interesting. Of course, he plummeted off the popular culture cliff when he married his 13-year-old cousin.
Yes. And I think he's still around, isn't he?
Oh, he's still very much. I think he's on his seventh marriage.
Yeah.
You know, banging the keys to the piano and kicking out that bench and just going all over. I remember him from the movie High School Confidential. Ooh.
Jerry Lee.
Jerry Lee, the killer.
Okay, here we are. You're listening to The Morning Show. I'm Jack and that's Jim. We are coming up on Lost in the 50s, so that was a fine musical choice, but... we just said good morning to Dr. Joe Wassef, and we say good morning as a greeting to Allie Ench, registered nurse and stroke coordinator with Bonner General Health's Telestroke program. Good morning, Allie.
Good morning, Jack.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm great. Nice to see you this morning. And the question that we had before you even came on the air is, what is a telestroke machine at all?
That's a good question. So we utilize telemedicine at the hospital in the emergency department. Telemedicine is just a broad term for anything that utilizes some sort of other So it could be a phone consult that could be considered telemedicine. What we use for stroke patients in the hospital is a telestroke robot. So what I try to compare it to is like FaceTiming or Skyping. So what happens is it's an actual robot that has a screen. It's an interactive sort of operation where the doctor makes a phone call, lets them know that they have a stroke. Then they beam in on this computer, and the computer can actually see the patient, can hear the patient, and there are other devices that can be added to the machine that can zoom in. The camera can zoom in on the patient, so you can see eye movements, you can hear the patient speak. It's a really awesome resource for patients, and it's awesome that we use it at Bonner General.
Cool. So where does the actual the person on the other end of the line?
So we utilize Providence system of telestroke. So we have doctors that could be out of Spokane, Seattle, Portland, all the way down into California, Alaska. Huh. And these are all telestroke neurologists. So this is what their specialty is to assess stroke symptoms and know the right route to treat patients.
Wow, that's cool. Robin Hansen is still here, by the way. You are the marketing coordinator?
Specialist, yeah.
Sorry.
Well, and I just wanted to add that the great thing about this program is a neurologist is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So anytime we have a patient present at the emergency department with signs or symptoms of stroke, they are immediately brought into the emergency department. And we actually won an award for the quickest door to CT scan. So basically that means we had somebody present with stroke symptoms and they were in getting a CAT scan within minutes.
Wonderful, wonderful. Let's back up and ask Allie. We talk about the word stroke. What are some of the signs of a stroke?
That's a good question. So May is also Stroke Awareness Month. It's a very busy awareness month.
Busy month we have.
So we try to keep it simple with signs and symptoms of stroke, and it's the acronym of FACE, and it stands for face. So what you do is you have the patient or the person smile, and if you notice one side of their face is droopy, that is a symptom. The A stands for arms. You have the person outstretch their arms. I tell people like they're trying to hold a pizza box, and if one arm kind of drifts down, that could be a sign of weakness, or if they're not able to lift that arm up at all. Speech is the S, and speech stands for if they're not able to speak at all or if they have slurred speech, that is a good symptom. And then the last one is time. It is imperative that you call 911 and get to the emergency department within time. You can lose 2 million brain cells for every minute that you are having a stroke. The brain is losing blood supply to that area of the, and you can lose millions in of brain cells. So
yeah, what's pretty frustrating, I think, for our staff in the emergency department is when somebody waits, they experience the signs and symptoms of a stroke, and Allie can attest to this, mm-hmm. and they think that they'll take a nap and then see if they wake up, if they feel better. And you know, just a point we're trying to drive home is time equals brain.
Correct.
Like what Allie was saying is the longer you wait, then the more possible damage is occurring. And if you wait too long, that damage could be irreversible. What's really exciting, and I'll let Allie talk more about this, is a medication that can work and can actually reverse the reactions and the symptoms of stroke that people experience if they present early enough with the onset of the symptoms to be eligible to receive it.
Okay. We've been talking about the symptoms. What is a stroke?
So a stroke, there are two types of stroke. You can have an ischemic stroke, which means that your blood has clotted off to that spot of your brain. So the spot of your brain isn't getting adequate blood supply. So that could be caused from, you know, high blood pressure, diabetes, cholesterol. Those are common risk factors. Also, you know, risk factors if you're a smoker, if you have heavy alcohol consumption, you're not watching your blood sugars, you're not taking your medication for hypertension. Those are also risk factors. There are types of strokes also called hemorrhagic strokes, which are bleeding from your brain. So those are usually related to if you're not monitoring your blood pressure and your medication, you're not taking it like you should, and then you can have a hemorrhagic stroke.
Okay, so a stroke focuses in on the brain.
Correct.
What's TIA?
So TIA stands for transient ischemic attack. So what that means is it's... I know, that's a lot. Boy,
no, you just rolled that right off, dear. That's wonderful.
So a TIA is actually, it's symptoms of a stroke, and the symptoms go away. But unfortunately, it is a precursor for having a stroke. So people will have a TIA, and then that could mean that subsequently they're going to have a stroke in the future.
I think what Robin said is very important. Time is of essence. This is something that one should jump on and be proactive immediately. If one has any of the symptoms, and it's doesn't know age, doesn't know race, doesn't know gender.
Exactly. I was just going to interject that stroke can happen at any age. I was just talking about a story that happened with a child having a stroke. So that being said, call 911. The beauty of that is call 911. That EMT, they can start preventative or treatment on your way to the emergency department. They will call ahead. I mean, you engage that 911 call and get those services starting. And by the time you get to the emergency department, they're waiting for you.
Mm-hmm. That is true. Yes.
Mm-hmm. How common is a stroke?
You know, I do have my list here, and I want to say how often do they occur? So 800,000 strokes will occur every year, and one stroke happens every 40 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and okay. Takes a life of every minute. So I think the more important thing with stroke, I mean, we all think of somebody that we know that's had a stroke. It can be so disabling. And I mean, just to go back to feelings of depression, I mean, that would be something huge. So why I want people to get into the emergency department so soon is there is a medication that we can give you. But like Robin said, you have to be there within a certain time frame. So if you get there within 3 to 4.5 hours, there's a medication that you can get if you qualify for the medication that will help dissolve that clot. And we have a great partnership with Sacred Heart. So the patients that receive that medication go immediately to Sacred Heart. We continue to watch the signs and symptoms. We watch your blood pressure. We make sure that you continue to improve. Like I said, the medication does have some pretty significant risk factors for bleeding. So you definitely, again, that's why we have such a great partnership with our telestroke neurologists, because they truly are specialists and they are the ones that can help decide whether or not that patient qualifies for the medication. And also when they go to Spokane, you know, there could also be a further intervention of a clot retrieval. So sometimes the clot is in a lower part of your brain, and there's a machine similar to what they do when somebody has a heart attack and they have to put in something to help the blood flow through there. They can go in and pull the clot out from your brain. And, you know, that procedure is done in Spokane, and so we have a great partnership with them.
You've been talking, Allie, about once a stroke has occurred. I looked at the website for Bonner General, and one of the statements says for the telestroke program, strokes can be prevented. Can you talk a little bit more about the prevention of strokes?
Absolutely. So there are certain risk factors. So if you're a diabetic, make sure you're checking your blood sugars frequently. When your blood sugar is high, you're at a higher risk factor. Same thing with if your blood pressure is high. It's so important to make sure that you are checking your blood pressure regularly. Sometimes when people go into the doctor's office or the hospital, it's high. So make sure you check it at home with your own monitor. Keep track of it. Come into the hospital. You know, other things, if you smoke, please quit. If you don't exercise, get started. You know, exercise and diet modifications. Make sure you're trying to eat a heart-healthy diet. And those are good modifiable risk factors.
Well, and just in general, you know, one of the points that we try to make with prevention of any disease is know your numbers. So know your blood pressure, like Allie's saying, know your blood sugar, know your weight, just know your numbers in general. So if you are at risk, then you can work with your primary care provider on addressing those issues before they turn into something like a stroke.
Where does one go to find out more information about the telestroke program at Bonner General?
Well, you can go to bonnergeneral.org on our website and go to our emergency department page, and it talks about our telestroke program.
How long has this program, Allie, been in effect?
I believe it's 3 years, Robin.
Started around 2015.
And do you have any numbers on the number of people it has served?
You know, I just took over as stroke coordinator in the last year. But like Robin said, we do have an award for getting patients treated the fastest.
Time, you know.
We also got a door-to-needle award, too. Mm-hmm. And
door-to-needle?
Door-to-needle. So the medication that Allie was referring to, that if you have a clot and you qualify for this medication, because if you have a brain bleed, this medication isn't going to help you. It's going to actually make the condition worse. But if it's a clot, it's a shot. It's an injection that can dissolve that clot and get that blood flowing back to the brain. And so, like I said, we had the door to CT scan, you know, recognition. We also had the door to needle. And so that's, again, somebody presents with signs, symptoms of stroke, they go through the telestroke, you know, diagnosis, and they receive that medication.
That's really amazing when you consider that you can have, let's say, a doctor in back east or in Hawaii or wherever who can immediately, through technology, diagnose and, in other words, you know, forecast, you know, what one should do and how to deal with this particular. Are all strokes individual?
Yes, that's a good question. So I think that's why it's such a great partnership with our telestroke neurologists, because they know this is what they do all day. So they know, they look through patients' history. They know what medications they're on. They are really good at going through individualized to decide if this patient is a good candidate for intervention or for the medication.
Wonderful, wonderful. Anything else, Jack, before we send Robin and Allie out into a wet day?
I just want to interject, too, that, you know, somebody has a stroke, they receive whatever medication works, and maybe they still have some lingering effects, side effects. We have phenomenal rehabilitation therapy services through our performance therapy services department at Bonner General Health, and just the most amazing therapists to help people regain mobility, strength, and coordination, balance, all of that. So, you know, rest assured that if you do have some lingering effects of a stroke, we can help with that too.
We love to bring people back into the community. If they've had a stroke and they go to Spokane, it's great to get them back here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. One more time, a phone number.
Oh, well, if you 911, I'm going to start with that.
Good.
If you're experiencing or someone that you're with is showing signs of a stroke, 911. You can reach the hospital at 208-263-1441. And again, bonnergeneral.org. Our website is packed full of information on all of our services.
And I'd like to have Allie one more time go through the four different signals of a possible stroke, because I think they're recognizable. And if you could, one more time for our listeners.
So the acronym is FAST, and it stands for face. So you want to have a person smile if their face looks different on one side versus the other. The A is arms. So if you put your arms out and one side is more weak than the other. Speech, if somebody is having difficulty with speech or you notice a slurred speech. And time, definitely call 911.
And act immediately.
Act immediately.
Want to thank you, Robin and Allie, from the Telestroke Program, for coming down and just important information to get out in the community.
Well, thanks for having us. We really appreciate this opportunity to share this information.
And both of you have a good day.
Thank you, too.
Stay dry. We're going to play a song by Mildred Bailey. And if the name is not familiar to you, after she sings, I will fill you in. Here is Mildred Bailey on 88.5 KRFY.
Thanks for listening to the KRFY Morning Show. For copyright reasons, we can't reproduce protected music on the podcast edition of the Morning Show. But feel free to tune in live at 8 a.m. at 88.5 on your radio dial, or listen anywhere in the world by streaming us through our website, krfy.org. If you listen live, you can hear the full program, including musical breaks. While you're visiting krfy.org, consider tapping that donate button and help keep KRFY providing unique quality radio in North Idaho. Thanks for your support. We now return to the show.
That was Mildred Bailey, and if you're wondering about why we played Mildred Bailey here on 88.5 KRFY, that's because a week from tomorrow at the Panada Theater, the radio station here is giving a big thank you to the North Idaho community with a free showing of the documentary, 2017 documentary film called Rumble, The Indians Who Rocked the World. And it hits a couple aspects of the KRFY mission, not only to entertain, but also to educate. Mildred Bailey, her name comes up in the movie with Tony Bennett speaking about important influences on his singing. And he said, when I was from about 16 to 20, I listened only to Mildred Bailey. And I did some research, and she had 3 number one hits in 1938 and 1940. And it turns out that she is a member of the Coeur d'Alene tribe.
Yeah.
And here from our own area is this incredible contributor to jazz and to American culture. Who knew? And she comes from a very musical family with ties to Bing Crosby. In this area.
And so
Mildred Bailey, you'll be hearing more of her on the radio station. We've gotten some music by her. But that is a week from tomorrow, and it's free at the Panada Theater, Rumble, Indians Who Rocked the World, and the world of jazz, the world of folk, the world of blues, the world of pop music. And it's really an incredible deck. It's free. You just walk into the Panda at 7:30. Doors open at 7. And hopefully we will have a good crowd turning out so that we can say thank you for everyone who has supported this radio station, either with money or just turning on your dial and telling friends. I'm looking forward to it a week from tomorrow, May 25th at 7:30 at the Panada.
It's always fun to get people out for the radio station, especially when we're just saying thank you out for an event and we're not.
It's a great social. Yeah, it's a great social time, and we're just looking
forward.
And
right at the beginning of summer, too.
Right at the beginning of summer, and also 2 weeks later, we have our membership drive. But by all means, Indians Who Rocked the World, Rumble. And, of course, that song comes from, speaking of Lost in the 50s, Link Wray's song from 1958 called Rumble.
Mm-hmm. I do have some current events here, and the big one is, of course, Lost in the 50s, which technically starts today, Thursday, May 17th, and it runs through Saturday, May 19th. I think, unless I'm mistaken, there's also the sort of a little bit of a wrap party on Sunday, the 20th, when they'll have the annual aspirin 5K, I think, is what it's called. But that's Lost in the 50s. It's this weekend. It's the 33rd annual Lost in the 50s celebration. There's all sorts of events going on. And, I'll throw out some details on the daily basis as well. But that's this weekend. It's Viking Fest also tonight, from 2 p.m. to 8 p.m., Viking Fest at the Skoll Tap Room, 476930 Highway 95 out in Ponderay. Come celebrate in honor of Norway's Independence Day. Live music with Kevin Doran performing from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m., a scavenger bike ride, Viking vendors, a costume contest, and swag giveaways. Awards for the costume contest are at 7 p.m., and the Edelwagen food truck will be in the parking lot.
Perfect. I have something after the Lost in the 50s weekend. On Sunday, May 20th at 4 p.m. at the Panada Theater, a showing of a documentary called Kelly's Hollywood, and it deals with Down syndrome, and it's presented by Down Syndrome Connections Northwest, and that is at 4 p.m. at the Panada Theater on May 20th. So that is a good cause and a good reason to get out and support the film and support individuals and families who have a member with Down syndrome.
It's Girls Pint Night Out tonight at the Idaho Poor Authority. The slogan, of course, is Cool Chicks, Great Beer, No Dudes. 5 p.m. to 7 p.m., join Vicky at the big table for an evening tasting and talking about, this time around, it's India Pale Ale. So that's tonight from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. at the Idaho Poor Authority. Let's see here. The music begins tonight, Thursday night solo series, featuring Spokane Valley native Wyatt Wood from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at McDuff's Beer Hall. More than 15 years of music experience, Wood is doing what he knows best, playing tunes for fans. That's at McDuff's Beer Hall, free and open to the public, as long as you're 21 or older, at McDuff's.com for more information about that. 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. tonight.
And I have something next weekend. After you see Rumble for free at the Panda Theater on Friday night, on Saturday and Sunday, P.S., your cat is dead.
Oh, yeah.
And briefly, this is going to be on at the Heartwood Center at 615 Oak Street. On Saturday, May 26th, doors open at 6 p.m. The show's at 7, and on Sunday, the show's at 2 p.m. The story, I know that broke you up into tears last week when I read it. This is put on by the Panhandle Animal Shelter. The story goes like this. It's New Year's Eve in New York City. Your best friend died in September. You've been robbed twice. Your girlfriend is leaving you. You've lost your job, and you're all alone. And the only one left to talk to is the gay burglar you've got tied up in the kitchen. P.S. Your cat is dead. Okay. It seems it's a fundraiser for the animal shelter. And Mandy Evans and her group of people out there do a bang-up job. So Saturday, May 26th at 7, Sunday, May 27th at 2, at the Heartwood Center on Oak Street. Good cause. Sounds like fun.
Speaking of, as far as Lost in the 50s goes, the kickoff tonight is at the 219 Lounge. It is also the beginning of American Craft Beer Week. Tap Takeover featuring beers from Bend, Oregon-based Boneyard Beer Company. The party begins at 6 p.m. tonight with beer specials, prizes, and live music from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. with Bruce Bishop and Drew Brown. These two will entertain you with everything from rock and roll to blues. Savannah of the Old Tin Can will be cooking up burgers, and let's see, and that's tonight until who knows when. Starts, though, at, or the live music starts at 7 p.m. The party begins at 6 p.m. It is free and open to the public as long as you are 21 or older to go to the 219. Then, Rock and Roll Heaven, Rock and Roll Heaven 14, it looks like. The Bonner County Fairgrounds hosts the Rock and Roll Heaven show tonight at 7 p.m. The Lost in the 50 celebration come out for an explosive night of energy and music, they say. From Justin Chandor as Elvis, Richie Valens and Jerry Lee Lewis performers. Doors open at 6 p.m., so arrive early. Visit Lost in the 50s Facebook page for more details about that. It must be 9 o'clock, Jim. We have no time for this.
We have no time for this, but we do have time for the rest of the day. And stay tuned to Otto's Eclectic Mix until 5 o'clock. And tonight at 7 o'clock, Americana Backroads with Dusty. 8 o'clock, live from the Divide from Bozeman, Montana. And 9 to midnight, the KRFY Folk Show.
What are you doing? You going in?
I'm not going to be live tonight. I'm going to do one of my evergreen programs. It's been a hectic week, and I'm not prepared.
I understand. Okay.
But Jack, you have a good one, buddy.
Oh, thanks, Jim. Stay tuned for Bird Note and Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long. Thanks for tuning in. Oh, it's a different guy.